Okay. So today we'll talk about Rosh Hashanah in Halacha and Hashgacha. Mostly in Hashgacha, but we're going to want a lot of Halachot, as we'll see, within the description of Halacha. And it's as follows. Rosh Hashanah is a very unique Yom Tov because it has two themes. It's a dual nature. It's a Yom Tov, like the other Yom Tovim, which makes it a happy day, the Yom Simcha. And at the same time, it's the Yom Hadin. And because it's the Yom Hadin, so it's a day of judgment, of Yira and Pachad. And we're going to analyze how these two themes, they're not contradictory, they blend together. And the fact that it has both themes on the same day, we're going to see how this plays out in the Halacha. Whenever you want to learn the Hashgafa of something, the best way to learn Hashgafa is to start from the objective facts. Start from Halacha, and then from the Halacha you can see, develop the Hashgafa, because Halacha is objective, then you build the Hashgafa from there. And for example, Rav Salavetik Tzatzal would do this a lot. If you were to analyze what is Yom Kippur all about, you start from the Halachos, and then develop from there your approach to the Yom Tov. Same thing with Rosh Hashanah as well. This is not so easy to do. You have to be a big Talmid Chacham to do this. So most of the major part of this year, I once heard from a Rebbe of mine, Rav Rosenzweig Shlita, from YU, and that was like the root of this year. So first let's see how this plays out in the Halacha. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. It's a Yom Simcha. We Paskin, there is a mitzvah of Simcha on Rosh Hashanah. Normally, when there's a Yom Tov, we say Hallel. But on Rosh Hashanah, there's no Hallel. Why is there no Hallel on Rosh Hashanah? So this is a Gemara, which the Rambam basically quotes. It's source number 5. The Rav Zatzal would like to quote this Rambam. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Chanukah, Perakim HaHalach above, Aber Rosh Hashanah v'Yom Kippur ein behen Hallel, Gufi Shehen Yemei Tshuva v'Yiru Pachad, Lo Yemei, Simcha Yaseva. They're not days of abundant Simcha. It's a very precise language in the Rambam. What does the Rambam clearly mean? There is Simcha, but not what? Not what? Abundant Simcha. This Rambam exactly captures the nature of Rosh Hashanah. It's a Yom Simcha. We'll see. There's a mitzvah to eat. And you're happy and you're excited. We'll discuss that more in a few minutes, Bezrat Hashem. But the Simcha is toned down a little bit, because it's the Yom Hadin. We're being judged for our lives, and that generates a feeling of Yira and Pachad. And this is captured Hallel. Hallel is singing and dancing. On Rosh Hashanah, that expression of Simcha, of abundant Simcha, we tone down a little. Although it's Yom Simcha, we don't say Hallel. That's an excellent example of where you find the balance of these two aspects of Rosh Hashanah. It's a Yom Simcha, a Yom Tov, and also the Yom Hadin. Next, there's a mitzvah to eat on Rosh Hashanah. That's how you paskin. Some of the, there were shittas who held, you're allowed to fast, or you're supposed to fast. We don't accept those shittas. We paskin. There is a mitzvah to eat on Rosh Hashanah. However, the Shulchan Aruch, source number 2, gives a very specific warning to be careful when you eat on Rosh Hashanah. The Shulchan Aruch says, Lo yochal kol seva'am, lo yochal kol seva'am, l'manu lo yekelu rosham, v'tiyah yiras Hashem al p'nehem. When you're eating on Rosh Hashanah, don't eat until you're totally full. In order not to have kalus rosh and too much levity, and the yiras Hashem is al p'nehem, when you're having a big meal, sometimes you have a big meal, and what a big meal, and you enjoy, then you're relaxing, and yeah, big meal, you relax, you tell jokes and this, and it's not the right mood. Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Simcha. We'll discuss more of the details, the nature of the Simcha. There are beautiful ideas here. But you have to tone it down. You're being judged for your life today. So while you're eating, recognize the fact it's the Yom Hadin. You can't have Kalus Rosh on Rosh Hashanah. Now, the truth is, the Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Yom Tov gives a warning by all the Yom Tovim to be careful to not overdo it with the eating. But when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, the warning is more severe. And that's another good example. You're supposed to eat, but the mood should not be levity, joking around. It's the Yir Hashem al Paneihem. you should be discussing in Yonei Tshuva on Rosh Hashanah and at, you know, at the table and aspects of the Yom Hadin, and not, you know, letting loose too much and having a Kalus Rosh. That's a second example where you find expression in the halacha of the two aspects of Rosh Hashanah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get to the third example. Then I'm going to describe, Bezat Hashem, what the Simcha is versus the Pachad. Number three, and this is beautiful. On Shabbos, it's usher to fast. There's a mitzvah onuk Shabbos. Now the truth is, the real mitzvah is onuk Shabbos. So if you happen to particularly enjoy fasting, you're allowed to fast on Shabbos. Okay? So maybe that applies to some people who really have that fasting thing. But for the rest of us, 99% of the world, we don't enjoy fasting too much, so you have to eat on Shabbos. Now you should know that there are halachas that are based on that. That it doesn't say it's usher to fast on Shabbos. It says that you have to have oneg, and since for most people, oneg is eating. Okay. Now, the Gemara, based on the Gemara, the Rishon of the Shulchan Aruch writes that you're not supposed to fast more than half a day either. Once you fast more than half a day, it's like you fasted the whole day, and that's usher on Shabbos as well. So on Shabbos, one is not supposed to fast past Chatzos. So that means you have to eat before Chatzos. If you daven for early minyan, 7 o'clock, you daven 8 o'clock minyan, get home, you eat, make kiddush, no problem. You daven 9 o'clock minyan, that's a long davening, there's a beautiful but long drasha from the Rav, and the sermon, and the Mishnah Beirachs, you get home, you might not eat till after Chatzos. So if the way your Shabbos day is set up, you won't be eating before Chatzos, then the halacha is you're supposed to avoid that, i.e. take a drink before davening. Drink water is for sure mutter. The minhag nowadays is coffee and tea is mutter, with milk, with sugar, before davening. Other drinks is a discussion. Maybe we'll talk about it later in the year. And the whole issue of eating before davening and how that works for men, for women, that's another... I don't want to get into that right now. But you're supposed to avoid fasting past Chatzos. So this happens in real life. Let's say I had a relative once whose shul was very far from his house. So if he would... And the shul didn't have a kiddush. So to go to the shul and to walk home, he wouldn't begin lunch till after Chatzos. So that person is supposed to drink before davening. I think everyone should drink before davening, because if you have more kavanah, you know, if you drink it, it gives you a little koach, a little bit. You know, but in a situation where you know, you think you're not going to eat before Chatzos, then you should drink davke before davening. I know someone who's, in general, having kiddush with cake, you know, and then going home to eat, is... It's the minhag olam. It's the minhag olam. But it isn't really the ideal. The Mishnah Berurah writes in Be'er Halacha near the beginning of the Shabbos that it's better to make kiddush with your real meal. One reason is because you get filled up with kiddush, then your real meal, you're not so hungry sometimes. There are other reasons as well. The Vilna Gaon is quoted as being very into the idea that making kiddush with your real meal. So I am not telling you not to eat at a kiddush. If you need a kiddush, that's the minhag olam. And that's what most people do. Okay, but I have a friend who's makbid not to, and he never eats at a kiddush. Then there was one time I saw him eating at a kiddush, and he's a friend that I could talk to. And I went up and I said, "What are you doing? You never eat at a kiddush." So he explained that he had to go there. He had this simcha and that simcha, and it was almost chatzos. And by the time he got home to eat lunch, it wouldn't pass chatzos. So he ate at a kiddush. To avoid, because in the 20, he went home for 20 minutes, to avoid fasting until past Chatzos. That was a good teretz. I mean, that's the kind of thing this person would say. This person's very, very, very careful. Anyway, so now, Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Tov. We paskins also to fast, but the Ramah paskins, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes it in twice, the Ramah paskins, source number 3, that you're allowed to daven and keep on going past Chatzos, as opposed to a regular Shabbos where you're not allowed to The Ramah goes out of his way to say you're allowed to be marich in tefillah, and the Mishnah explains that means pass chatzos and fast until pass chatzos. When Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, you're not supposed to do this, the Mishnah Berurah says. Okay, but on a regular Rosh Hashanah, you are. Why? What's the idea? So again, there are different approaches. I think this is the standard approach, and this is how my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita explains it. It's exactly this idea. You're not allowed to fast, it's a Yom Tov. But it's the Yom HaDin. So because it's the Yom HaDin, and you're more in fear, you're being judged, we are, in a sense, makil regarding fasting, that we let you fast until after Chatzos. It's a very subtle point here. It's a Yom Tov, you're not allowed to fast. We pass and you have to eat. But because it's the Yom HaDin, so we're in a sense makil, that you're allowed to fast. It's not the real thing, fasting. It's not mamash fasting. So that middle position, where you fast past Chatzos, it's sort of like you fasted. You can't do it on Shabbos or normal Yom Tov. On Rosh Hashanah, you're allowed to. This exactly captures like this tension. The two themes of Rosh Hashanah. It's a Yom Tov, but it's also the Yom HaDin. You're going to eat, but we're davening for our lives. And if you daven for your life and go a little too long, quote unquote, and you keep on davening, you don't even have to chazos, that's okay. Now again, you're certainly allowed to take a nice drink before davening, which I think is a good idea. You have more koach than davening. But that's not the point, is that it's mutter here as opposed to a regular Shabbos and a regular Yom Tov. And again, these three halachas each reflect the notion it's a Yom Tov, but at the same time it's the Yom HaDin, so therefore we tone down the expressions of Simcha. Let me just explain this idea of the Simcha versus the Yom HaDin. There's many beautiful ideas here. One I just heard over Shabbos, so I want to share it. And, okay. So what is the Simcha of Rosh Hashanah? So the simplest shot, this is the Pashut shot, is the Simcha of Rosh Hashanah is reflected in the Malchus. Proclaiming Hashem is king, what a schus we have. Hashem's our king. L'havdol alfei havdalos, you have a new president. And you go to you have the inauguration, you have a new king and a queen in England, you have a coronation. It's exciting. So here, l'havdol alfei havdalos, Hashem is our king. What a schus that we have. This is our king. And we're celebrating the fact that Hashem is the melech. And we'll get to this later. You blow the shofar as part of the coronation of the king. What a schus that we have that Hashem is our king and he governs our lives and we have this kesher with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Simcha of Rosh Hashanah. That's the Pashut Pshat. One level maybe deeper than that is there's a broad theme which is said in different ways in different Sfarim. I heard in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. He pointed out as follows. If you look in Chumash Devarim, the Torah mentioned, this is really beautiful. This Dvar Torah, this little next Dvar Torah, it can change your life. The Torah mentions the word Simcha, I think, 8 times in Chumash Devarim. And every time, I think there might be one exception, I looked it up once in the Korban Natsir. Every time, or nearly every time, right before or right after the word Simcha, you have the phrase Lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. The Torah is teaching us that Simcha equals being Lifnei Hashem. The Torah's definition of Simcha is the experience, the hargasha, the feeling of being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what's, and this makes sense. Our neshamas, our tahor, our ruchnias, they come from the ruchnias source, and when your neshama gets close, you feel that ruchnias connection, you're closer to the source, that's the greatest Simcha. And the Rav quotes, there are psukim in Tanakh that talk about chatoim being mavdil. They separate us between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's a barrier between Bnei Israel and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That takes away the Simcha. Simcha means being lifnei Hashem. Therefore, this is the pshat in the Simcha of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, by the way. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, they're part of their days of tshuva, connecting with Hashem, that brings you to Simcha. You're getting closer to Hashem. That generates the Simcha. This is true for Rosh Hashanah. You focus on the Malchus, you daven, not the whole day, two-thirds of the day. Rosh Hashanah is a day of tshuva, 2 days of the... Rosh Hashanah is 2 days of Aseret Yemei Tshuva. It's a different type of tshuva, which we discussed, but it's a day of tshuva, getting closer to Hashem. This is Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is a Yom Simcha. Yom Kippur is the opposite of Tisha B'Av. Although on both days you fast and all the Chamesh Inuyim, it's the opposite of Tisha B'Av. It's Avelus. We're sad over the Churban Abayis. Yom Kippur is a Yom Simcha. And the Mishnayos described Yom Kippur as one of the happiest days of the year. They made Shidduchim on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av, they made Shidduchim. That's what it says. Why is Yom Kippur the day of Simcha? So the Gemara explains, A, that's when Moshe brought down the Lukos, which is the source for us of getting close to Hashem, and B, because it's the day of Tzlicha and Mechila. That's what the Gemara says, near the end of Tainus. It's a day of Tzlicha and Mechila. That generates Simcha. So the Simcha, this is beautiful. This is the Simcha. The Simcha of Yom Kippur is the Simcha of having that closest to Hashem. If you're Zocha to daven somewhere with a great tzaddik, right after Yom Kippur, you watch a great tzaddik dance. The shows they dance after Yom Kippur. There's a certain shine. When I was younger, I saw this many times. You see a great tzaddik right after Yom Kippur, davening the whole day, becoming as close to Hashem. We're like malachim for a day. After Yom Kippur is over, that simcha. What's that? What's the simcha? It's the simcha of the neshama connecting with Hashem. And I find it expressed, and it's a fabulous thing. That's a second level of the simcha that we're achieving on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur as well. A third level, and this is aboard this yisod. I just heard this past Shabbos. The Rebbe of my shul, Rabbi Chaim Malinowitz Shlita, he said he was talking about tshuva, and the Rambam writes he mentioned in many svarim the word hayom is a reference for Rosh Hashanah. He quoted different makaros. Atan it's in Hayom. So some refer, that means it's a reference to Rosh Hashanah, today. What's the pshat? And he quotes from the Rambam and other makaros, when it comes to tshuva, Hashem allows us through tshuva to start again. One of the hardest parts of life, and you make a change, and you think about your past, yeah, I used to do these aveiros, and it gets depressing and it's hard. Hashem says, he quoted from the Shem Yishmuel, that's what and other makaros, when a person does full tshuva, it's like an act of gerus, you're a new person. A ger is a new person, kachin chenol adami. When you do tshuva, yeah, and he quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says that this is the koach of tshuva. Yesterday a person was in front of Hashem and Hashem wasn't happy. And today, he's close to Hashem. On Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we're achieving tshuva, we're achieving a new, it's similar to the Rav's pshat, it's a new beginning. And the simcha, I can start again. I can start again, in a sense, forget about the past, I mean, I've done my tshuva, start again, and Hashem says, I'm giving you the koch to start again, almost like a ger, that generates a tremendous simcha, and that's why I would have thought to say hallel. We don't say hallel because we're in fear. But it's a beautiful idea, the idea of tshuva, it's a gift that Hashem gave us. That just like a person converts, they're a ger, they're a new person, so too, you do tshuva, you're like a new person. The Shem Yishmuel says it, and others say it as well. And that's a simcha. I can start again. And I can start with the clean slate. That's what tshuva does. This is the simcha of Rosh Hashanah. A fourth part, okay, simcha of Rosh Hashanah. Of course, the yira, the pachat part of Rosh Hashanah, is it's the Yom Hadin. We're being judged for our lives. Everything that happens next year is being established, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Very scary. The Rambam calls it Yira Pachad. It's a Pachad. And because of the Pachad, you're being judged for your life. With all the Simcha, we also have to tone it down a little. And that's why we're not singing and dancing. It's a different type of Simcha. You have to tone it down a little. It's more of a serious Simcha. And that's why it's toned down. And we saw the three examples in the Halacha. We're being judged for our lives and we're in fear. Now the truth is, there's a fourth aspect of Simcha, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes from earlier Makaros, that even within the din, there's a simcha, because the Torah writes and others write that Hashem has a midah of rachamim. So we have confidence that we're happy Hashem's judging us, because Hashem has rachamim, He has mercy, and although the din is scared, but if Hashem's judging us, we can have more bitachon that'll give us a good din. Now, it's not for sure, it's not 1,000%, so there's still yira. But that, in other words, there's an aspect of simcha within that year as well. Okay, but fundamentally, when you feel you've been judged for your life, that's yira, that's pachad, and that's, okay. Oh. So far we've seen the two themes of Rosh Hashanah, the simcha and the din, and the simcha and the pachad, and we found expressed in the halacha how these two elements, these two two parts of the two themes of Rosh Hashanah, we find them expressed within the halakha itself. And that is like the first half. Okay, if you want to analyze Rosh Hashanah in Hashgacha based on the halakha, what of course, if you want to analyze the Rosh Hashanah based on the halachos, which halacha must you analyze? Must you analyze? What's the main halacha deraisa of Rosh Hashanah? Shofar. Shofar. Shofar is mitzvah deraisa of Rosh Hashanah. And as we'll see, and this is one of the, this is a very beautiful thing to think about in Rosh Hashanah, the shofar mamish blends in to both themes of Rosh Hashanah. So first, before we get to that, there's a broad theme about shofar, which could be you've heard before. It's good to hear again. And this is mentioned already in the Rishonim. This idea was sort of brought to life and developed by the Briskers. The Brisker Rav developed this and mentioned and discussed it, and Rav Soloveitchik. The Brisker Rav Zatzal and the Rav Zatzal developed this at length, which is, number six, shofar is a form of tefillah. Al pi halacha, the tzkiyah shofar, this is not just a hashgacha concept. We'll discuss the hashgacha. Al pi halacha, shofar is a form of tefillah. And there are proofs for this idea, several proofs and indications in the Gemara and in the Rishonim for this idea. Number one, there's a sugya in Rosh Hashanah that talks about what is the correct shape of a shofar. Should a shofar be basically straight, pashut, or should it be curved, kafuf? It's a machlokas, and the Gemara says it's better for a shofar to be kafuf, to be curved. The Gemara says, what's the machlokas based on? So the Gemara says, because the question is, what's the better way to daven? Is the best way to daven kafuf, bent over, submissive, on nothing in front of Hashem? Or is the right way to daven pashut, standing up straight, at attention, with respect? That's what the Gemara says. So of course, the question is, what's the connection between the way a person is supposed to stand during davening and the shape of the shofar? So the Rav would always say that the entire assumption of the Gemara is that the shofar is a form of tefillah. And therefore, Chazal wanted the shape of the shofar to reflect davening. So they're discussing, what's the best way, what's the best posture for davening on Rosh Hashanah? And the shofar should reflect that. It's a very powerful, simple proof. The entire assumption of this Gemara, of the whole sugya, is shofar is a form of davening. Number nine is my personal favorite. This is the kind of thing when you're a gadol, so then you can... there's the Abudraham. The Abudraham is a Rishon, wrote a perush on the Siddur. If you look in all of the modern, the last 100 years, Mefarshim on the Siddur, all quote the Abudraham all the time. The Siddur, Otzar HaTfilas, quotes the Abudraham all the time. Okay, so the Abudraham develops a Yisod. And this is a beautiful Yisod, by the way. This could be a good topic for your senior thesis. In a college, I would appreciate this. Depends what college you go to. But in a senior thesis, here's what he says. Here's what he says. When Chazal established brachos, they didn't stop make up a language. Every bracha that Chazal established, the Abudraham writes, is based on the language of a pasuk. He gives three or four examples. So for your thesis, you'd go through every bracha in Chazal, every bracha that's developed, and find the pasuk of Psukim it's based on. Put me in a footnote and thank me for the idea. Okay, fine. Yeah, it's a very beautiful idea. So now, that's the Abudraham. It's just a beautiful concept that when Chazal established brachos, the brachos were talking from Nevi'im, and they made the language fit for the bracha. That's what the Abudraham says. So the Rav had a kasha. When we daven our Rosh Hashanah, and we say the bracha of Shofros, the bracha concludes. Baruch Atah Hashem, Shomea Kol Teruas Amo Yisrael Barachon. Hashem hears the sounds of the Teruah with mercy. That's the bracha. So the Rav said, you don't find any pasuk in Tanakh that has that language, that, you know, phraseology, Shomea Kol Teruas Amo Yisrael. So it's a kasha on the Abudraham's principle. That's what he said. According to the Abudraham, every bracha is based on a pasuk.
that bracha doesn't have a pasuk.
The answer is, the Rav says, no, it must be as follows. Shofar is a form of tefillah. So when Chazal were establishing the brachos, there are many psukim that talk about what? Hashem is shomea the kol of our tefillos. So the bracha is not a kasha against the Avraham. No, it blends right in. Since shofar is a form of tefillah, so Chazal had the license, had the right to take psukim about shomea kol tefillah and adjust the language shomea kol shofar. So this idea that shofar is a form of tefillah helps to solve that, in a sense, question according to the Abu Dram. Now the truth is, this idea that shofar is a form of tefillah is in the Rishonim. Sources 10 and 11, there's the Ramban and the Ritva writes this as well. They write this exact Lashon, that the shofar is there to help bring our tefillahs up to Shemayim Barachamim. The Ritva is discussing a very interesting topic, that when we blow shofar during Musaf, we blow 10 sounds for Malchios, 10 sounds for Zichronos, 10 sounds for Shofros. Okay. And altogether, you for sure have enough to be Yotze. So in the entire Musaf, you have enough to be Yotze at Tzkiyah Shofar. There was an old custom which was very widespread in the time of the Gaonim and even later, where they would blow during Shofar, during Malchios, just Tzkiyah Shofar towards Tzkiyah, four sounds or three sounds. During Malchios, during Zichronos, just Tzkiyah Shofar Tzkiyah. During Shofros, just Tzkiyah towards Tzkiyah. There was a total of 9 during Musaf. That was an old custom. Now that isn't enough for the mitzvah. That's the question the Ritva raises. And the Ritva says, no. The purpose of blowing shofar during Musaf isn't that it's another chance to be Yotze the mitzvah of shofar. No, the purpose of blowing shofar during Musaf is to help bring your tefillahs up to Shemayim Barachamim. So you don't need to have enough kogos that might be Yotze the mitzvah. No, the purpose of the sounding of the shofar during Musaf is not to fulfill the mitzvah again and have a chance to fulfill the mitzvah during davening. It's not about filling the mitzvah via shofar. It's about using the shofar to be mala our tefillos berachamim. So this idea that shofar is a form of tefillah, it's in the language of the Rishonim. It's explicit in the language of the Rishonim. Just the Biskur Rav and the Rav developed it further. Oh. So the shofar, of course, fits with both themes of Rosh Hashanah. On the one hand, the shofar as a form of tefillah fits with the Malchios. We're proclaiming Hashem as our king. We're coronating a king. When you have an inauguration, what do? You blow trumpets. A 21-gun salute. So the Rav Sadia Gaon says that one main theme of Tekiah Shofar is it's part of proclaiming Hashem as our king. When you hear the sound of the shofar from Rosh Hashanah, you're supposed to be thinking about Kabbalah so Malchut, Hashem is the king. And at the same time, of course, shofar blends in and is part of and augments what part of our davening? The Zichronos. During Zichronos, Hashem remembers everything. Hashem doesn't forget. Hashem is judging us for all of our actions. And we're in fear from Hashem. And we're scared in front of Hashem. And when you're in fear, and when you're davening for your life, what happens sometimes? You cry. And the shofar is a form of crying. The Torah says, Yom Truah. Truah means to, and Truah. And Targum Unkelah says, Truah is Yibaba. It means to cry. The shofar is a form of crying. So the shofar blends in to the Malchios, the Simcha aspect of Rosh Hashanah. And the shofar, of course, blends in to the crying aspects of Rosh Hashanah. The shofar is a way of davening without words. It's a big yesod. You're davening without words. You daven with words. Sometimes you daven, you can't find the right words. And what do you do when you can't find the right words sometimes? You cry. You're in 11th grade and you made a really big mistake towards the end of 11th grade. And it's terrible and it was a big mistake. And your principal is considering throwing you out of school. Now, you get thrown out of school at the end of 11th grade. It's embarrassing with your friends and then your parents. And then for seminary, you realize, you know, like 12th grade this, my friends just said that seminary. And like, sort of like, I'm going to the principal's office now. And I feel like my whole life, basically, is in her hands. Because if she kicks me out of, right now, this, if I'm expelled from school now, it's really bad news. And if you get in there, you start making this excuse and that excuse, and you apologize for this, you promise to do it again, and you're talking, and you're not sure you're getting through. And then you realize you're sitting here in front of the principal, and she has your life, your future in her hands, and you've davened, and you don't know what else to do. You don't know what else to say. What happens then? You start crying. That's exactly what happens. That's Rosh Hashanah. You're davening to Hashem, you're pleading for a good thing, and then you talk and you ask, and then you start crying. The crying is the crying of knowing I'm dependent. It's not crying from sadness. It's not sadness. It's crying from my dependency on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I don't know what to say. There's nothing else I can say. That's the sound of the shofar. The shofar augments our Hashem. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I want to be close to you again. And I daven and I daven. And then I have no more words. And that's when you cry. And that's how the shofar blends in very well into the zichronos. The Rav Zatzal once gave another mashal about this, with the sound of the shofar being a form of tefillah. It's a tefillah without words. And he said as follows. It's a very deep idea. We daven Rosh Hashanah. We ask for a good din. We don't always know what's best for us. We don't always know. I mean, we think we know. But we don't always know what's best for us. So we ask for what we daven for what we want, what we think is. Then we say to Hashem, Hashem, please give me a good thing that I deserve, that's good for me. The Rebbe gave the following example. When he was in Germany, he originally didn't want to leave Germany. He felt it was for his progress and development, and had he stayed in Germany, he would have been killed in the Holocaust. So the fact that Hashem didn't do what the Rav requested was the greatest gift the Rav could have ever received. That concept is captured in the shofar. I daven and I daven with words and with words, and then I say, and Hashem, if what's really good for me is not what I'm asking for, then please give me that. But how do you express that? You express that by davening without words. I don't know what to ask for. I'm so dependent on Hashem, I don't even know what to ask for. So after asking for what I think is I want, I then say through the shofar, and Hashem, please give me what I'm supposed to have, even if it's not what I've asked for already. That's another way how the shofar blends into our zichronos to being the Yom HaDin. That's a very, very powerful idea. There are two sounds of the shofar, two fundamental sounds. It's Kiya and the Trua. And this I heard from Rav Aaron Salvechik Zatzal, that basically the tzkiya always symbolizes things are good, the all clear sound. When you offer karbanos on the Yom Tovim, it says uskatim b'chatzosaros. It's in here. It's in Bamidbar Perek Yud. V'yom simchas mubadechem uskatim b'chatzosaros. Tzkiya is when things are good, and trua is when things are difficult. Also in the same in Bamidbar Perek Yud pasuk tes. So Aaron said, even the two sounds of Rosh Hashanah reflect the two aspects of the day. The tzkiyah fundamentally reflects the simcha, Hashem's the king. What a yom tov, that great yom tov we have, and the trua represents the crying, the yom hadin, the fear of the day of Rosh Hashanah, and even the two sounds represent. So if you look down there at the bottom, I just gave a list on both sides. Simcha, but no simcha yaseira. Eat baser v'yayin, but not till you're totally full. It's also the fast, but you can fast till half the day. Malchios versus the koronos. Shofros fits into both the two sounds of the shofar. During Rosh Hashanah, we go back and forth between these two feelings. There's no contradiction. They're both part of the Mekabel Hashem as our king. Hashem, part of being judged, is Hashem is the one judging us. Excuse me, part of the fact that Hashem is our king is that Hashem is judging us. And that's the simcha, and at the same time there is that fear, and this is an approach to Rosh Hashanah. And okay.